You are listening to Movie Sucktastic.
Like some bad movie.
How do you know we're done doing Oscar movies? Because we're reviewing bad movies again.
Aw, this one you didn't like this one?
I feel like that's a trick question.
Well, welcome to Movie Sucktastic. I'm Scott, that's Joey, and this week we're reviewing Gamer from 2009.
Yeah. I mean, they were doing a few movies like this around this time. Like, what was the other one? It was Surrogates with Bruce Willis. You remember that one?
Surrogates, yeah. Surrogates is a far superior film to this one.
Oh yes, I actually kind of like Surrogates. Isn't the other one with Keanu Reeves? Was that Replicant or something like that?
Oh, you Johnny Mnemonic?
No. Keanu Reeves did another one. I think it was called Replicant, where they were cloning people and shit.
I think that's a more recent film.
Yeah. No, 2012? I mean, this is 2009. I'm just saying it's... Well, maybe not. I don't know. Who the fuck knows? I'll look it up real quick.
Well, this is by the guys that did the Crank film.
Yeah, it shows.
The Crank movies. So
it shows.
Yeah. Well, you know, when the film starts out and one of the first lines of dialogue includes the phrase cunt hair, you know you're in for a ride.
A little bit. Oh, Replicas is 2018. You're right. It is much later.
Yeah, apparently the three things that indicate a dystopian society, a future dystopian society, are excessive cursing, advertising, and video games.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting? So hold on. We're supposed to be doing our Oscar roundup real quick.
Oh, we'll do that at the end.
You want to do that at the end, not at the beginning?
Yeah. No, we're already into the review. Screw it.
Well, all right. I don't know if anyone's going to care at the end. But fine. We could do that. That's totally okay. So when the movie opens up, they even use the Impact font on like all the billboards and the advertising. And I'm like, this is just a fucking walking meme here. I don't know if you noticed that, but they use the Impact font. I mean, it's just about all over everything. I mean, we use the Impact font. And the only reason we use the Impact font is because everyone else uses the Impact font. So, but anyway,
yeah.
It's just like all the billboard. It looked, it's like
ever since Blade Runner, it's like, oh, dystopian future, advertising everywhere. That's it. That's the only thing. That's the only thing that indicates it now.
Well, you know, and the thing is too, when the movie opens up, it was all superimposed. It was all, you know, CGI. It didn't look good either. You know,
no.
It wasn't like it, like Blade Runner. It, you know, practical special effects and all that. It looked good. Other dystopian films where they do that, it looks good. This looked terrible. It's not a good looking film, not by any means.
No, I mean, so let's take a look at the action sequences. The shaky cam to the max, editing is poor editing, and on top of that, they keep adding video glitches. Even though they're real people in the real world doing real things, they keep adding video glitches.
Yeah, not that I didn't get it. I understood what they were doing, but it's like, why are you doing this? It's not
And have you ever noticed, like, most sci-fi films, whenever they have like the vastly futuristic technology, it's always like glitchy as shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like just like aliens, like alien what the fucking the prequel one.
Give me
Aliens.
Oh, like Covenant and Prometheus.
Prometheus is the one I was trying to think of. Like, Covenant kept popping up my mind. But it was like in Prometheus, like, oh.
Well, Covenant's only, what, like 11 years later, 9 years later after Prometheus. But yes, I get it.
Yeah. But Prometheus, it's like, oh, yeah, there's this vastly superior, futuristic, intelligent race. So that's why their holograms look like shit compared to ours. So what the fuck's going on here? Yes. So it's like they show these, like they'll show one of the, like, the video, the gamers. In his house, and I'm not going to get into the sweaty body shit, but like he's got like seven different TVs, and they're all like flipping and stuff like that. It's like, so no one has a good TV. Like, although I mean, the one rich kid, yeah, but that's got to be like this Xbox Kinect experience where he's like,
well, touching like the floor to ceiling, wall to wall, just TV, like it's curved and everything.
Yeah,
it was yeah, rich kid shit. But yeah, you know, I'm kind of getting tired of, you know, the dystopian future where, like, the gamer is just like, it's, they're an obese person. Like, they're showing them eat food and they're dipping it in, like, more, like, grease and, like, this.
We,
it's like, really? Like,
we
really?
We meet two gamers. The one you just talked about, like, just a huge slob of a human being, disgusting. Perverted,
basically gluttony, you know, in seven. I mean, like, it was that,
right? But worse.
Worse, you
know? Like, not sympathetic,
right?
Well, and then the other one is the spoiled, homophobic teenager living in his parents' basement playing games nonstop because that's the only thing he's good at.
Right.
It's like, wow, this movie hates video gamers. This movie hates you. If you're a gamer and you saw the title and you're like, oh, this will be fun, wrong. Because this film does not appreciate you at all.
You are part of the problem.
And it's like, and you can tell that the filmmakers, like, they weren't video gamers, but like someone showed them a video of what is it called? I even forgot now. Not Half-Life. You know, the first massive multiplayer game where people would walk around and talk to each other.
Oh, Sims.
No, before, not Sims. Civilization. That's the game.
Civilization?
Nope. It's something that you and I would never do. That's,
oh.
I can't think of what it's called now. Never mind. It was a bad trip. But like that, like they kind of successfully predicted or at least extrapolated, like, what Meta was trying to be.
Okay, I get you.
But when it comes to like the mass audiences in like parks watching these games, bullshit.
Yeah, no one's doing that.
Yeah, I mean, you legalize death matches. That's going to be the big draw. No one gives a shit that someone's been controlling them behind. I mean, it's just the movie doesn't make any sense.
We're rapidly moving towards idiocracy every single day.
But this is from 2009. We're taking a step back and seeing how dumb everything is.
I know. Well, listen, every time you make a post, I just grab a gift from idiocracy. I'm just like, this is where we're headed. This is it.
Yep, definitely. And what the hell is Ludacris doing in this film? Is this a Fast and Furious?
You know what? When did the first Fast and Furious come out? Like 2003? Was it 2003?
Like that.
Yeah. So I think he was already in the Fast and Furious films when this came out. So,
well, unluckily for him, he wasn't in a Fast and Furious film, so he didn't have that plot armor at the end.
Yeah, right. I think he was doing movies here and there at this point. Like, he was in Crash, which ended up winning Best Picture and whatnot. So, like, he was doing films here and there, and I think it was the beginning of him being in the Fast and Furious franchise. So they're like, hey, you want to be in this stupid fucking movie called Gamer? Yeah, I do.
I think the only worst character in here is Kyra Sedgwick's character, that Gina Parker Smith personality.
Oh yeah.
She literally serves no purpose in the film except to give Gerard Butler a ride from Act Two to Act Three.
You can trust me.
That's it. That's the only thing she does. Yeah. Yeah, that's the only thing she does. She gives them a van ride. That's the setup for the entire film. The film is not well written.
No.
I mean,
no.
The basic plot is that there's this futuristic gaming thing where they can control people's entire bodies. But
yeah,
what
was that game called? Slayers was the game where it was like called
Society.
Like Life Society. Yeah, yeah. Which is basically a ripoff of The Sims.
Right. So, but yeah.
But Slayers was like the live Call of Duty style game.
Exactly. Right. But the film cares so little about the science fiction aspect of this concept that it never even explains how like the players are interfacing with them at all. I mean, a Black Mirror episode, a random one, it makes 10 times more sense than this movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So the Gerard Butler's character is supposedly a threat to this Musk-like billionaire. Well, they compare him to Microsoft guy.
Oh, Bill Gates.
In this film, Bill Gates. Yeah, I mean it's more of a Bill Gates type character here. But we know today it would be Elon Musk. So this guy's so powerful that he pretty much runs the government and is running these massive games and is like the richest person in the world, yet he can't Epstein Gerard Butler.
Right? He just...
You know, oh, geez.
Oh, wow. That's sunlight.
Yeah, the time change here just messed me up. Yeah,
well, we, right, don't have, we don't have sun where I am. That already went down.
But supposedly he's so scared of Gerard Butler because Gerard Butler was like the first military experiment of the stuff, and they used it like obviously to try to kill somebody, to kill his partner,
right?
And so he's in jail for that. I mean, but like even him escaping or telling a story doesn't prove anything, and even if they use Ludacris's dream memory television.
Well, they put it on a live stream, so the whole world saw it.
But I don't know. And then like at the end, it was like, oh, everybody walks away, and Gerard Butler was like, yeah, turn it off. So all right, we'll turn it off. Yeah, because no one else is going to make money off this.
No,
and no one else is going to be in control. No, that's you just killed a man on national television.
Yeah.
Pretty sure, or the teenage kid did. Maybe he's screwed now too. I mean, that was the worst thing that about the film is like when it starts off, it, as a seasoned film goer, you're like immediately like, oh, okay, so this young snotty kid who doesn't know anything about life, he's, you know, this is a game to him and he doesn't care about anything going on, and oh, you know, I'm just gonna believe what they told me about all these people being convicts, and so it doesn't matter. Meanwhile, Gerard Butler is the wrong man in there. Even get rid of the wife and kid, you don't even fucking need that aspect. And so you're like, okay, so here's what's going to happen. These two are going to start talking, and they're going to form a bond, and they're going to kind of learn from each other. And this is going to be an ongoing, evolving relationship. Nope, the kid's going to disappear as soon as he pisses vodka into a car engine and starts it, which, by the way, is the most realistic part of this film.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, like, that's what the film should be. And then instead it just takes your typical, okay, now we're going to put a wife and child in danger and he has to track them down. And of course the billionaire is going to do something wacky. Michael C. Hall, I give him credit for trying, but
I know, terrible. This is also at the time where he was literally at the height of playing Dexter.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't even think we were in season 2 or 3 yet for Dexter. So it was like he had some time off and made a movie. And I have a what was with the country bumpkin accent
that kept going away,
by the way. It was there.
I feel like
it was gone.
I feel like
it was strong. And then it was like a light version of it. And then it was like, okay, that's Dexter. You know, like his delivery, that's Dexter. And then, okay, back to the country. I don't understand what was going on with that.
I honestly, it felt to me like somebody threw it in as a joke in an early draft of the screenplay and somehow it never got written out.
But I also think that what ended up happening was they probably did a few different takes, like country accent, you know, hillbilly accent, a slight hillbilly accent, then and Dexter, like regular accent, you know, and they just chopped it up wrong. Because it was gone in some, like completely in some scenes, like he didn't have it at all. To the point of where it was so strong at one point, I'm like, he's just making light of it, right? Like he's just, it's like, listen, y'all, you know, I control the game and I do that. And I'm just like, okay, so he's clearly making a joke. And then the next scene happens and he still kind of has it. I'm like, oh, fuck. This is the character. I'm like, shit.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Is like, oh, he's gonna drop it once he's in private, and he didn't. It's like, oh, fuck.
But that then in some scenes, it's completely gone in some scenes. Like at the end, when he's talking to him, when he's walking onto the basketball court, and he's talking to him, zero accent. Like he is Dexter at that point, Michael C. Hall / Dexter. That was his delivery, and I'm like, oh. What the fuck? Where'd it go? Like, I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know. And you know the directors. Right, no one will notice. Yeah, everybody noticed, dude. Everybody.
First note in my notebook was, I'm old enough now where a film opening with a Marilyn Manson song dates it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. When it opened with that, I'm like, I like the song, but no, stop. What are we doing like, here? Oh.
2000s, yeah, that's right.
Oh God, it was
that
like,
was the first warning sign.
You remember when
that
we
was
reviewed
the first shot across the bow?
I know. You remember when we reviewed what was it? My Little Eye.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was the one. That was the one with Bradley Cooper. That was like the beginning of his career. Came out in like 2000, and that movie opens up with a. A dial tone, like an AOL or like a modem dial tone or like a modem, you know, like startup. And I'm like, oh, my gotcha. God, like this is not like whoever thought then to do that. It was like, did you think that we would never evolve?
Well, like, I think at that point it was purposely dated. But I mean,
well,
yeah,
no. Like,
all right.
Like, no. Like, dial-up modems that's what we were using in, like, 98, 99, 2000. I mean, we were getting some high-speed internet, like high-speed DSL and whatnot, but we were nowhere near it. That didn't come for a few years later, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years later after that movie came out. But I'm like, come on, holy shit. This is ridiculous. Dial-up. Are you kidding me?
You know what also dates this film? If you read the film description, like on IMDb, like the which you know the summary that was written when it came out.
Yeah, I haven't.
The film summary refers to a Doom style video game environment.
A Doom style.
Yeah, that was the standard at that point. Oh, and that's 2010. 2009 doesn't even make sense. Why would Doom be it? I mean, there was definitely more than Doom going on it by that point.
Jesus Christ! In 2009. I mean, like, we had Call of Duty in 2009.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude. I even wrote my notes. Surrogates was such a better take on this idea.
I want to go back and rewatch Surrogates because of this movie.
You know what it reminded me of, too? I mean, Michael C. Hall's character, not his fault, is so, like, just blandly one-dimensional. It's, oh, he's a rich guy, so he's going to be eccentric. And, yeah, so he's going to dance with and, you know, be silly and all this. It's like, you know... Antitrust was a shitty film, but at least Tim Robbins' like character had a personality.
Yeah, true.
You know, at least I kind of bought him.
Also,
as that character.
Basically, they were saying he was Bill Gates.
Again, now Bill Gates to take off. You know, everybody was ripping on Bill Gates back then.
They still are. They think he's bathing in baby's blood, you know, and killing people.
He probably is. He's rich enough.
He's rich enough, but. No, that's not happening.
How do you know?
Me and Bill talk all the time.
What?
Me and Bill talk all the time.
No, I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's happening, but I'm not kiboshing it out of the realm of possibility.
Okay. All right.
Hey, he knew Epstein.
Everybody fucking knew Epstein.
Yeah, apparently I didn't know.
Listen, Epstein. You weren't.
I could have used a plane ride.
You know what's funny? So, I'm not going to say any names or anything, but somebody that I know came to me recently and said that their name is on the Epstein list. And I'm like, oh my God, what? He goes, it's not me. It's another person that has my name. Because apparently you can look it up. Like you could see like what names are on there. And mm-hmm. he was getting texted left and right about it. And they're like, oh, your shit, your name is in the Epstein list. And he's like, what? And he looked it up. And it, of course, it was somebody else more, you know, like prominent with his exact name. And he's like, that's great. His exact name is in there, but it ain't him. It's somebody else.
Bouncing real back to gamer real quick. It just occurred to me Tron had a better understanding of how games work than gamer did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, this movie's awful. It absolutely 100% belongs on the wheel. So, it's great.
All right, I will admit one thing. I liked one thing in this film.
What, was it Terry Crews?
No,
it because was the I didn't like marbles. Terry. I what was that?
It was the human desk marbles.
Oh yeah. I
giggled at that. I was like, all right, I'll give it a pass.
I like Terry Crews. I like him a lot, actually. But seeing him in this as like the crazy serial killer, yeah, right? Fucking singing a Pinocchio, or the song that Pinocchio sings. But I've seen him in so many things, and he's just like lighthearted in a lot of things, and he's funny, and he just seems like a genuinely nice guy. I couldn't see past it. Even in Idiocracy, where he plays the president,
I've seen him play bad guys. I think he's good both ways. I wouldn't want to bump into him in a dark alley with him singing that song. No.
But certainly in this, I was just like, yeah, I'm not buying it, Terry. I like you too much. I've seen you in too many things where you're a nice guy. He's like, I hear you want to get back to your wife and kid. I'm going to get to them first. I'm like, oh, okay.
The only other note I have in here has to do with the swearing at the beginning with the corporate people. I was like, okay, so in the future, there's no HR?
No, they own HR, or they got rid of it.
Okay. Yeah. I just threw me off.
It's a Trumpian future.
Yeah, it's just, you know what? The film leaned in so hard. I was like, I was shocked at both the cursing and the violence. I was like, oh, this is Phil. Oh, my. You know, I feel prudish. I was like, I don't know why, but I'm shocked that this film is so violent and there's so much swearing and sexuality. My heavens to Betsy. I don't know what it was. I was just like, I wasn't expecting that.
You had pearls. I was expecting more like, clutch them.
I wasn't expecting a hard R. That's all. I was expecting a more generic mainstream film.
Well, you know what?
Because like nothing in the poster like says, you know, crank.
Right. Well, you know what? So I had 45 minutes left of this film when I got home from work. And I put it on, and my one son comes home from school. I'm like, pause, because, I mean, he's 15. He's probably seen worse, but I'm like, man, like, they were going in, and it was just flashes of, like, tits and sex, like off and on. Oh,
deep
off
in
and
society.
Yeah. And I'm just like, son of a bitch. And then, like, the obese guy rubbing himself. And I'm like, oh, come on. And then my other son, he's got a STEAM, not a STEAM. He's got the science fair, STEM fair next week. And he's working on his project. He comes home. And I'm just like, I got to pause it again. It's like, oh, my God. I was like, clearly I can't watch this right now. I was able to do it, but.
Yeah, I was, the film really does lean into that. Is but like the even though the fight sequences do display a lot of gore and blood, I mean, they were very tame just as far as like action sequences go. There was nothing to really get engaged in.
Well,
the fight sequences were not choreographed well. It was more just quick editing, shaking them than anything else.
There was only a couple of good scenes.
It's just charred
during like the fight scenes, you know, and like the Call of Duty type scenes. There was only like a couple that were like done well, you know, but that's it. It was, for the most part, you're right, it was pretty bad. So, you know, did we lose you? Connection is weak. Try turning off incoming video to use less bandwidth. I got to get my guy here. I got to get him to run a hard line for his computer. This is crazy every single week. All right. He'll call back. But, you know, to talk a little bit more about this film, like choreographing and you know, what's interesting too is I didn't know it was the director of Crank. Now that I know that, you can absolutely see that. Oh, here we go. Moratorium.
Yeah, stop.
Stop what? Listen.
It has nothing to do with it. Stop.
No,
it doesn't.
Listen, I'm just joshing with you, all right?
I know.
Don't take it serious.
Taking it seriously. It's annoying that it dropped in the first place. That's all.
Well, I'm not going to disagree there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad we got Gamer to watch because I enjoyed hating this film. I really, there was like nothing redeeming about it. Gerard Butler just Gerard Butler's his way through the whole thing.
Yep.
This film hates video gamers and doesn't even have a basic concept of video gaming. The sci-fi aspects of the film are poorly thought out and barely explained. Oh, futuristic skeet shooting.
Oh,
thank you for that scene.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, what you were talking about earlier, where you were talking about like the action scenes and the fight scenes, and it wasn't choreographed well. I didn't know it was the director of Crank until you said it was, and I'm just like, what happened? You know, I mean, the Crank was like high octane, and it was definitely done better than this, but, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Something fell off with this movie, but when you were saying it's not done well, and some of it doesn't make sense, but it was like they were trying to do what they did in Crank, where they were trying to do that high octane, you know, really fast, and it worked in Crank, but it doesn't really work that well here.
Because I feel like they tried to mainstream it.
Yeah.
Make it more palatable. Yeah. They tried to soften that R, which I guess compared to Crank, it is softer of a film. Because like I said, I wasn't really, the action sequences never really engaged me. Even when even when he drives the piss truck around, it's like, yeah, okay. He's driving around the block. There's like this action sequence is not thrilling me at all.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So
Ludacris couldn't save this film, and it couldn't save him. It's a damn shame.
It's a damn shame. Well, he went on to make more Fast and Furious movies.
Oh, yeah, he's got the plot armor there.
He doesn't even need to make movies. He's a successful rap artist.
Oh, so I also wanted to mention briefly, I remember mentioning before where they should have had like a buddy cop kind of thing going between the young kid and the soldier.
Yes.
That would have helped if they'd had an actor for the young kid that had like a personality or charisma or something of that nature, you know, something that made you want to watch him on the screen longer than he was. Logan Lerman. But I was like, dude, why are you even in this film?
But you didn't like it when he was
useless
when he was rambling off different nut butters. You didn't like that?
No.
Pistachio butter, they make that? Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, because he's rich. Get it? if they made it now, it would have been avocado toast.
Probably. For sure.
Yeah. I just... No, this Hackers was more realistic than this film.
Sure.
Not by much.
Not by much.
Not by much.
It's a... I listen, I still enjoy watching Hackers, as bad a movie as that is. I still dig it.
I don't know about that.
Listen, there's a very young Angelina Jolie wearing a Devil's jersey. I'm in.
We still haven't reviewed Hackers either, have we?
No, I thought we did.
No, I think it's on the wheel.
Huh. Could have sworn we reviewed that one, but yeah, I guess not.
And if it's not, it should be. No, if we did, I'd remember the film, because I never really watched it all the way through.
Oh, okay. I've seen it.
I've seen bits and pieces of it. I've seen parts of it. I've seen enough of it where I've seen the whole film. I just haven't seen it in like one sitting, so nothing really stuck.
Right.
Except Penn Jillette's cameo.
Penn Jillette. Oh, man. You know, they still haven't released a good copy of Penn and Teller Get Killed. The copy that I have came off of a cable channel where they showed it in HD. That's the best we got.
Yeah, they'll know what they're missing when they don't have it anymore.
Yeah, right.
Then they'll fix it up.
Yeah.
What do you want to rate? I don't have my IMDb open.
I have it. I think it's a 5.6.
Way too high.
It's a 5.7.
Too fucking high.
Why is that a 5? That is so close to a 6. There are best picture nominees that are like a 6.
Well, I definitely wouldn't give this a 5. I want to give it at least a 4. I think I gave it a 2 on Letterboxd, which is equivalent of a 4 on IMDb.
Stars? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm good with a 4. This movie doesn't really... A 5 would mean it's an average film, and you know, you enjoy most parts of it, you know, but
yeah,
you know it's average and it, you know, nothing to write home about. This is genuinely bad.
Yeah, it just lazy writing all around.
Very
like a rush job. It had to be a rush job or something, or I don't know.
I don't know. Well, 2009 is also the year he did Law Abiding Citizen, so he must have. When did this come out? Here, I'm going to look it up real quick.
Oh, he was taking every job that came his way. He still is. He just did Greenland 2. That's not something you take if you're a serious actor. What the fuck is that?
But that's now. Back in 2009, Gerard Butler was like red hot, like after 300 and Law Abiding Citizen.
He's still A-list.
He is, but I'm talking A-list. About at this time.
Okay,
after 300 in 2007, mm-hmm. It's just like Gerard Butler, they put him in rom-coms or put him in action. You know, he's still A-list. But back then, nobody knew who he was, you know, until 300. And then, boom, put him in everything.
Right. Exploded.
Yeah. So this came out September of 2009, right at the end of summer, like right after Memorial Day. And then Law Abiding Citizen, I want to say that came out in like November. That was like a fall movie. Let's see. Law Abiding Citizen. That came out October. Holy shit. He had a movie in September, and then less than a month later, Law Abiding Citizen came out. Gerard Butler was a busy boy in 2009. So I wouldn't be surprised he made both of those movies. You're right. They probably rushed that movie because of time constraints, because he was like making Law Abiding Citizen as well.
And this film just like slipped through the cracks, I think. I've never seen it really referenced anywhere. I just know it existed because I remember when it came out.
Oh, he did Phantom of the Opera in 2004. But even after that, he wasn't really... It wasn't until 300 where he exploded. Let's see, anything else in 09?
But I'm good with a 4.
Oh, God, he did. Yes, he was in Watchmen as well. He was the sea captain for the Tales of the Black Freighter for the Ultimate Cut. He was in The Ugly Truth in 09, Gamer, and Law. He had 4 things he did in 09. Sweet Jesus. Busy boy.
Yep. But should have actually taken some time off instead of doing this one. Closing the book on that.
There you go. All right, so 4 it is.
4 stars.
Are we
try harder next time?
Yeah. Are we spinning the wheel? You know we are.
Yeah. Let's spin the wheel and then we'll do a quick Oscar recap.
All right. Hold on. Let me.
Ah.
Ooh, there it is. The wheel. All right. Here, let me shuffle this. There we go. You ready?
Yep.
Let's do it. Oh, it sounds like music from Gamer. What do we got? all right. It's Freddy Got Fingered. Freddy Got Fingered. Daddy, would you like some sausage? So
I don't know.
Before we commit or do anything, I keep forgetting to explain the rules. Both Scott and I have a veto, okay? And the way the rules are is if Scott vetoes something, we'll spin again. If I don't like it, I can veto it. And then we'll have 3 movies. Now, the rules were before we had to review the third one no matter what, but I figured it would be smarter to just pick the best of the 3, you know, instead. So I take it you're going to veto this. You don't feel like this one.
I'm not feeling it right now. No, right. I'm not sure. It makes for an interesting interview, It makes for an interesting review because I feel like the film is trashed more than it deserves. But I'm just not feeling it right now.
All
right. So I'll veto that.
All right, we're going to spin again. Also sounds like music from Gamer.
Not a good sign.
No. What do we got? Oh, Folks. Isn't this one like they eat people in this one?
Folks.
Or they kill people? Serial killers? Or am I
Folks.
Thinking of something else?
I'm not sure. I'm looking it up now. This is, I wonder, if, I hope this isn't one.
Oh, that's the one with Tom Selleck and Don Ameche. Where Don Ameche is, he's got dementia.
No, that can't be right.
I mean, Folks, FOLKS exclamation point. That's what's on the wheel.
I have no idea why that's not there. That shouldn't be on there.
A different movie called Folks.
I must have pulled that off of a Razzie's list.
Yeah, there's really nothing else that hits. There is other things called Folks, but it's a 45-minute movie.
No, there. At one point I was pulling stuff off the Razzie list at random, and I thought I got rid of most of the ones that didn't make any sense, but this is one that I'd like.
The Folks, that's 2022.
No, this is my fault.
I don't want to review this anyway.
Yeah, so you can veto that.
Okay. So I mean, here's
and we'll
the
take
thing.
It off the list, too.
But here's the thing. Since it's not supposed to be there, did I really just use a veto, though?
Well, roll, spin again and see what happens.
All right. This music is definitely not from Gamer.
Good. That's okay. There we go. This will be our. This will be ours.
It's like lounge music. Alien franchise.
Oh.
Wait. I mean, we have to start with the first movie. See, I love the first movie, and I love the second movie. How do you even get into this franchise? You can't cherry pick. we go right to Alien 3, where David Fincher had the movie taken from him. I don't want to review that one either.
Yeah.
You know, you go right to 4, you know, where it's like so much in the future, where they got a clone of Ripley. It's like,
we could do the newest one because I haven't seen it yet.
The newest one. Oh, Badlands?
No, that's Predator.
Oh, yeah.
Aliens.
What's the newest Alien?
That's the one that just came out recently. I forget the name of it.
I mean, no, they came out with it. Oh.
You know the one I'm talking
about. Yes. It was Alien R, began with an R, from the director of Evil Dead, the reboot of Evil Dead. Alien Requiem? No, that doesn't sound right. Is it Alien Requiem?
I don't have my Plex open, so I can't look it up.
I got it.
It's the newest one. And I have no desire to watch it. So, like, us reviewing an Alien film, I think that's the good one to do because I don't want to see it to begin with.
Right.
I'm so done.
Alien Romulus.
Romulus, that's right.
Romulus. I really liked Alien Romulus.
Yeah, I remember you said that. I was like, why? I mean, what do they do differently? You know, so that'd be interesting.
We can do Alien Romulus.
Let's do that one.
I'd actually watch it again. It's Fede Alvarez, the guy that did the Evil Dead reboot, which was excellent.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah, so I think what they were able to do in Alien Romulus was interesting. You know, it was definitely a little different than what other Alien films have done. But it takes place between Aliens and Alien. It's like right in that middle. I believe it's that a few years. I mean, because I have the whole timeline of when it takes place. So you want to do Alien Romulus then?
Yeah, I think that's something I'm not interested in watching it, so I'm interested in watching it.
Okay. All right. I'm good with Alien Romulus.
Yeah, nice change of pace, a little sci-fi.
Excuse to watch it again. I watched it like over the summer. It came out in the summer, and it took me a year to watch it because I was waiting for Mare.
Oh, that's your mistake.
Yeah, but even with that, I watched it like 7-8 months ago. I'll watch it again.
All right, fair enough.
Just to keep it fresh, you know? Yeah. Just so I can remember all the cool stuff that they did. Otherwise, I'm not going to.
Mm-hmm. And you know I'm taking notes, so we'll see.
It's going to be an interesting review. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
All right. So, the Oscars happened.
Yes, they did.
How many did you get correct?
I got 12 out of 24. Nice 50%.
I got 17 out of 24.
Oh, so now I'm just very happy that I nailed the screenplay categories. I got both of them right.
So did I.
And we both got best director, best picture right, obviously.
Yes. Yeah. Now we can go over these super quick. You know, do you have your sheet with your answers and whatnot? I'm going to do this the same way I did the first time. Going to go with the bottom row, which is going to blow right through them.
All right.
For best production design, I picked Frankenstein, and you didn't. You picked.
I picked Marty Supreme.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I thought they were going to give Marty Supreme something, you know.
I told you.
I know.
Now here's the thing: I should have listened to you on this one. For best animated short, I picked Butterfly, but you won with The Girl Who Cried Pearls.
Which, again, that was the only one I saw, so it was pure luck on that part.
You know, I always hate doing these categories because I don't really ever get to watch any of them.
Yeah.
When they were doing the nominees, you know, nominated, and they show a little, like, excerpt from it, the second I saw The Girl Who Cried Pearls, I was like, that's the winner. Like, it's the fucking winner. Because the animation on it was amazing. It's that almost like stop motion, claymation kind of animation that's actually very popular right now. But it's also very well done. It's very beautiful. I'm not saying it's popular because it's a fad. It's just really well done. The second I saw it, I was like, fuck. If I saw these nominees beforehand, there's no way I would have picked anything else. I do not care what the content was. So, yeah, I got that wrong. You got it right. So here's an interesting one.
Yep.
Best live action short. We were both correct on this one.
Yep.
Because you picked The Singers, and mm-hmm. I picked the people who two people exchanged saliva, and it was a tie. They both won. So yep. that was kind
first,
of
first tie in what, 20 years?
It's been I think it was 2010 or something like that was the last one, or 2007. It's been a long time, but it has mm-hmm. happened in the within the last 20-30 years. People were saying, okay. acting like it, it never happened before, or it happened really long time. It is rare, but it has happened, and it has happened within the last couple of decades. Mm-hmm. Best sound, I picked F1. I think you also did, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that was an easy one. Then best visual effects. Scott, it was a scheduled wrong answer for Scott. He knew.
Yes.
He just knew it was Avatar, but he refused to pick it. It was Titanic, mm-hmm. Oscar party all over again.
Yep.
I picked Avatar. Scott picked Jurassic World Rebirth. While the special effects are good in that, no, sir. No. Sorry. best film editing. I picked One Battle After Another. I believe you did as well.
I did it too, yeah. Yes.
Best international feature film, Sentimental Value, was
nailed
the winner.
It.
Yep. Although mm-hmm. we did talk last week that we both felt The Secret Agent probably should have won that one, but there was just too much hype around Sentimental Value. It was just too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, best makeup and hairstyling, I picked Frankenstein. I think you did as well. Yeah.
Yes.
Best original score. Was Sinners. I picked One Battle mm-hmm. After Another. I got that one wrong. Now, while I got that one wrong,
me too.
So did they. I am sorry. Like, Hamnet and Sinners are neck and neck. Like, if you were to put them in order of best score to worst score, it's One Battle, then Begonia, then Frankenstein, and then you take your pick for the fucking bottom. With Hamnet or Sinners, there is no. Did they not listen to the actual score of One Battle or Begonia? Because both of those scores are fucking worlds better than Sinners. I mean, don't get me wrong, the score in Sinners is fine, but Little Golden Statue.
You're blowing through these, sir.
I know. I got to get this off my chest. Little Golden Statue. Fuck no. Stop that shit. All right. Best original song. We both picked Golden for K-pop Demon Hunters.
No.
Oh, what'd you pick?
I picked I Lied to You from Sinners. I thought Sinners was going to get it.
It's a superior... This is like the score argument I'm making. That is a superior song. They mm-hmm. even when they performed it at the Oscars, I got chills. It was so fucking good. And then they did the K-pop song, Demon Hunters. I'm like, this is shit. But it's just, it's popularity. You just can't deny it. I picked K-pop
okay,
Demon
Boomer.
Hunters. Yeah, stop that. I don't think so. K-pop Demon Hunters is just too big. So I picked it. I got it right. You know, you picked with your heart. You got it wrong. That's how this shit works.
Yep. That's
best
what I tend to do.
Casting. I thought they were giving that to Sinners. I picked Sinners. But it went to One Battle.
Yeah, I thought it was going to go to Hamnet, so I got that wrong, too.
I mean, as far as best casting goes, I thought the cast in Sinners was, as far as picking people, thought it was harder work.
It's an award for hiring people.
I know.
It's an award for hiring people. It's ridiculous.
But that's the thing. In One Battle, it's like Leo's attached. You know everyone else follows. You don't have to. It's not hard work. In Sinners, I thought the work was there. You know what I mean? It felt like it's like, okay, we're thinking this person for this part. We're thinking this person for this part. With One Battle, it's like, nah, whatever. Cinematography, I picked One Battle. Sinners won. I don't know how Sinners wins best cinematography when 90% of the movie takes place at night.
It's still in the film.
Yeah, but it's just dark backdrops. Come on.
Well, you still have to adjust for lighting when you're filming in dark areas.
It's another they got it wrong category. One battle. If anything, it's easier. Way better. Train Dreams. Way better than Sinners.
If anything, it's easier to film during the day, sir. And one battle after another has a lot of day sequences.
No. Filming during the day is very tricky. You know that.
But there's light. So is it night? Because there's less light.
We're not going to get into this.
Anyway.
Best costume design. We're just getting into all the ones you got wrong and all the ones I got right. Best costume design. I picked Frankenstein. I think you picked Hamnet. I picked
Hamnet, yeah.
Yeah, no.
Usually, again, it came down to a flip of the coin on period pieces. That's all.
I guess. Documentary feature. I picked The Perfect Neighbor.
I did too, and I should have picked Mr. Nobody Against Putin because I saw that and I like that one too. But yeah. I knew they weren't going to give it to The Perfect Neighbor.
What? No, I thought that they were, but when Putin won, and I'm like, it's because it's topical. It really is. It's because it was topical.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really what geared that. And I should have just expected it, to be honest.
It's a good documentary too. Give it a watch if you get a chance.
I'm gonna check it out. Best documentary short. I picked All the Empty Rooms. I believe you did as well.
Yep.
That's kind of a gimme. No-brainer. As soon as I found out what it was about, I'm like, yeah. That's how I should have treated the documentary feature. Should have treated it the same way.
They went with the most dead children. That's what it was.
Yeah, that's right. All right, now we're in the big categories. Best animated feature, K-pop Demon Hunters.
Yep.
Sure. Flip a coin. Mm-hmm. That's really how that category.
It was obvious. Again, they've destroyed that category. We've been through that.
Yep. Best supporting actress, Amy Madigan, Weapons. I called it.
That was a long shot.
You went with what's her face, Inga. Inga. Sentimental Inga. Value.
Mm-hmm. I knew. Yeah, that. I went Sentimental.
I just knew it. Value. I mean, yeah, Tiana Taylor.
I thought they would sweep back.
I thought it was between Tiana Taylor and Amy Madigan. You okay?
Yeah, I thought the Swedes were going to sweep the actress category.
You know what? I think there was just too many of them nominated, including Elle Fanning. They just kind of canceled each other out, I think, in the end.
Possibly.
Yeah. Best supporting actor, Sean fucking Penn, who didn't even show up. He was in the Ukraine. He was hanging out with Zelensky. I'm like, you son of a bitch.
I wasn't thrilled that he won, and then when he wasn't there, I was like, oh, good. I like this. Good for him. That's what I expect. I expect nothing less from you, sir.
I mean, I picked Delroy Lindo. You know, I treated that category like the supporting actress, where I was like, they're going to give it to Amy Madigan because her performance was excellent, but it's like, she's never going to get nominated again. Maybe mm-hmm. after this, they'll start putting her in more dramatic roles or more interesting roles. Maybe. I don't know. But I thought the same thing with Delroy Lindo. I'm like, this guy's never going to get nominated again. Give him his due. You know? But no, they went with Sean Penn. I mean, he was great in one battle. Don't get me wrong. But for him, see, here's the thing. For Sean Penn.
Here we go.
I'm just saying. For Sean Penn.
Blowing through.
I know. He doesn't care. He doesn't care anymore. You know, it's like if you give Daniel Day-Lewis another Oscar, he's going to be like, thank you. That was great. I don't know.
Sean Penn's busy saving the world.
He is. Best actor, Michael B. Jordan. I went with Ethan Hawke. You went with Timothée Chalamet. Now, I should have probably picked Michael B. Jordan. I think even during last week's episode, I did talk about how he was winning everything lately. And that was probably a sign, but I was like, you know what? I just had a feeling about Ethan Hawke. I'm like, I think he, because of the thing with Chalamet and the ballet opera thing.
See, I didn't know about that. I don't pay attention to that
I didn't know about it either.
I didn't know the whole world soured on Timothy comment about opera.
I just want to say that I read the comment. It's out of context. It really it is.
Yeah, who gives a seriously?
I mean, it's like so stupid. All right, best actress, Jessie Buckley, for Hamnet, and I told you that.
Yep.
And you didn't pick it anyway. It was like it was a gimme. I said every year there's a gimme. And Jessie Buckley for Best Actress was the gimme.
I didn't like it.
You refuse to listen to me. It's not about liking it.
I didn't like how everybody was fawning over her performance. I didn't think it was that exceptional. I thought it was hammy.
The scream heard round the world.
Hammy net. That's what it should have been.
Yeah. Best Adapted Screenplay, One Battle After Another, is what I picked. I believe you picked the same.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Best Original Screenplay, I picked Sinners. Scott picked that as well. You know, in a big, big way, I think those were both gimmies as well. Those were definitely the best films in those categories.
Again, adapted was a tricky category this year. There's a lot of great adaptations. And again, when you're adapting, it's more than just the screenplay itself. It's how it relates to the source material or how it used the source material. So for me, it was a lot trickier than just like, oh, yeah, everyone likes that film this year.
Sure.
Original screenplay was a little less of a debate for me because I wasn't overly impressed with Marty Supreme or Sentimental Value. So, I mean, I thought they were easy picks, but not really for the same reason.
Right. We're down to the last two. Best Director in Picture. Best Director. One Battle After Another, Paul Thomas Anderson. I think that was a...
Duh.
Yeah, duh. I mean, the only person that would have even remotely had a shot, in my opinion, was Chloe Zhao for Hamnet. Because sometimes they like to split those categories. When splitting those categories was unheard of. But then it became more common after they went to 10 nominees. So... Mm-hmm. It only happened like one time. I think it happened in 98. Spielberg got for Saving Private Ryan. And then Shakespeare in Love won Best Picture. And it was like this huge shock. Because I think
neither of them deserved it.
Stop that. The last time before that, I believe, was Reds in 1981. There was a split. Because normally that it just doesn't happen. It's more common now. I knew it was going to be Paul Thomas Anderson, but if there was a chance in hell for anyone else, it was going to be Chloe Zhao.
Did you sit through the ceremonies?
What do you mean?
Did you watch the Oscars?
Oh, I watched the whole thing. Yeah.
Okay. I was just curious. I did this year too. So
I watched it all. You know what? I was telling Mayor at the end, I'm like, Scott must be loving this. He's an hour behind. Like we're ready. Like Mayor and I are like, we're going to bed. You know, because it's like 10:30.
Oh, it's great. My parents, I watched it with my parents. We're all having a ball. It was great.
Yeah, it was like 10:30 for us. I'm like, shit, it's only like 9:30 for Scott.
Yeah, it was beautiful. The 1 hour time difference makes all the difference in the world.
It really does.
And any comments on the ceremonies itself or the... thank Christ they only did two songs. When they started doing songs, it's like, oh, it's going to be all night.
But here's the thing. And then they got to the second song and the award show. They were in the major awards and that starting to announce. I'm like, there's three more songs. There's no way they're performing them. And then they were like, oh, if you want to see the other songs, go to this website. But I'm like, how do you narrow it down to two and why not the other three? I mean, it makes it sound like they're less important.
I'm not complaining.
No, I know, but just don't fucking perform anything.
And I just hate don't to do sound any like, of them. I hate to sound like an incel, but The bridesmaids reunion.
Oh yeah,
fucking painful.
It was pretty bad.
Is there a writer's strike again?
I don't believe so.
What? How? Who? I mean, again, this is the most. They're giving out awards for best writing, and this is the comedy they're going through. It's like fucking painful.
Yeah. Oh. And like, why do we care that movie's 15 years old?
Yeah, I give a shit. That's great.
There's so many
good for you.
You could have picked anything from 2010.
I'm glad you all still have careers. Congratulations. Moving on. Holy shit.
Here's actually,
I like Conan.
Oh, Conan, yeah.
Oh yeah, he was great.
I love the very, very end, like the Marvel at, you know, end sequence, you know, like
yeah,
where they recreated that scene from one battle. I thought that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I missed the opening and the ending. I caught them both on YouTube. Like
over the opening weekend. Was fantastic with him doing Amy Madigan from Weapons, just running that was through cool. everything.
That was great. Yeah, I wish I hadn't missed it. I remember back when Billy Crystal did those kind of openings. I haven't seen those in
his
a while.
His was mostly song and dance, but...
No. He did, like, the clip openings. Like,
oh, remember like when where Godzilla... he'd insert himself in them, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, cause, like, the year Godzilla came out, like, they that whole thing with him taking a cab to the Oscars, and he was driving through all the different films.
Right. So you here's know. One thing that we disagreed on, now that you mentioned about watching the ceremonies. I said that they were going to do something special for Rob Reiner, and you said that they weren't.
I said that they shouldn't.
But what they ended up doing was they kicked off with Rob Reiner, and they did special, you know, announcements mm-hmm. and remembrances for like four yeah. actors, like Robert Redford and Rob Reiner. And
yeah, so they handled it better than I was expecting.
There was like one other or two others. I don't remember. But they, yeah, it was.
And they kicked, and,
go ahead.
And they kicked Bridget Bardot off.
They forgot it, like a handful of people.
Because she was, well, they didn't forget her. They kicked her off because she was a horrible person.
Well, I mean, they did forget people. Like they forgot Jeff Vanderbeek. Mm-hmm. He had just passed away. I don't understand. Right. I mean, he was...
There's more television, though.
He did movies.
He was more television,
but
though.
He did movies.
I'm just saying, he was more television, though.
But listen...
Maybe he was a horrible person, too.
No.
No, everyone loved him.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's like, he made movies. He did TV, yes, that's where he got to start.
I
but he was making
he
movies.
Be on it.
Listen, if you make a movie, you deserve to be up there, even if it's one.
They got to add casting people now. There's only so much space.
It takes 2 fucking seconds to put his face up there. I don't want to hear it. It's bullshit.
Anyway. You and Corey Feldman can rally against
fuck
that.
That guy too. And then finally,
poor Corey.
He did it to himself. He's an idiot.
I think long and prolonged child abuse did it to him.
Yeah, well, yeah. I won't argue that you're there.
Yeah.
And the final category is Best Picture. One battle after another. Again, duh.
No-brainer.
Yeah.
This year.
No-brainer. Just. I mean, listen, there was a chance that, you know, like Sinners could have won that. Yeah, there was that chance. It wasn't like the Jesse Buckley category where it was just nobody else had a shot.
There wouldn't have been outrage. If Sinners won instead of One Battle,
no,
it wouldn't be like, oh, it was robbed or anything like that. It would have been like, oh yeah, that kind of deserved it.
Yeah. And the fact that Sinners is nominated, even though, like I said, it's like, I don't even feel like the movie should have, I enjoyed it immensely, but I don't know.
But just like you mentioned,
feel like a best picture to me.
And just like you mentioned with, Mr. Nobody against Putin, this film is very topical.
Yes.
And it resonates with what's going on today. Not that Sinners isn't topical as well. There's a lot of topical stuff going on in there. But, I mean, it is set in the past, and it is about, you know, past issues, and not that they haven't gone away. But, you know what I mean. One Battle is set in a more contemporary time, and it's dealing with the contemporary issues that we're dealing with now. And so it has that resonation. I'm going to keep using resonate until it's meaningless.
Just you do it, man. Preach.
Yeah. I don't know, but that's why I thought it was an easy choice this year. That's the only reason why.
So those are the Oscar winners and our predictions. Scott got 12 right. I got 17. We're back to normal.
Yep.
Even Mare, she got 16 right. And
jeez.
Well, she kept asking me, what do you think of this one? What do you think of this one? I go, just cheat off my sheet. Just go. Just stop asking me. I mean, I didn't say it mean like that, but I'm like, babe, my sheet's right there. Right. I did not say
okay.
I was like, listen, you can keep asking me, and I'll give you my answer, the one that I picked, or you can just look at my sheet. No, 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 I don't want to ask you. I don't want to look at your sheet. I'm like, okay. I mean, she almost tied me. I was like, she got very close. But again, she pretty much cheated. Anyway. So next week, we're going to review Alien Romulus.
All righty.
It's going to be interesting. And this episode, we reviewed Gamer. Terrible movie. And we went over the Oscar winners. So we tied that up in a nice little bow there.
You're welcome.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and end this bad boy. Oh, man. This is episode 473 of Movie Sucktastic. You can go to our website, which is updated. Scott kept chirping at me. Oh, so I still see F1.
I didn't see any. I didn't say anything.
Yeah, no, I saw it in your eyes.
I said it after the fact.
I know you did. You can go to our website at moviesucktastic.com. You can download every single episode that we have, including this one. And you can listen to the show there. You can watch the episode on YouTube by clicking the link. Or you can download it. And you can just download it to your device. You can go to iTunes and you can listen to our show there as well. You go to facebook.com/moviesucktastic and you can see everything that we're posting there. You can leave us email at themovieguys@moviesucktastic.com. Or if you want to leave us voicemail, it's 908-514-4470. If you want to download our podcast app, it's moviesucktastic.com/mst.apk. Or you can just download your favorite podcast player and do a search for Movie Sucktastic. We're on tons of streaming apps and places that you can just listen to podcasts like Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, iTunes. Just you name it, we're there. Although I hear Netflix has podcasts now, so I got to figure out how to get us on there. I don't know if they'll even accept us, but...
Maybe we get a movie deal.
Sure. Hey, you know what? The video game nerd guy got a movie deal back in the day.
Yep.
Why not us? What was that? What was that other one? Eric and whatever's amazing something or other. Remember those guys?
Tim and Eric's Awesome Show?
Yeah, that. They got a movie.
Yeah.
I think they were internet guys first. I don't know. Anyhow. So, yeah, you can just download any podcast player that you want. Just do a search for us. You can do a search for us in the browser. Favorite search engine. We're everywhere. We come up everywhere. Do you have any words of wisdom, Mr. Wilson?
Fuck the Oscars.
You know what? That was perfect. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. What do you want?
I Rocket League servers, I think, got down, so I didn't miss it this time.
Oh.
Well, yeah.
The show is ending. Yeah. We're running out of music here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
This is all you got?
Yeah, I didn't really think of anything.
You're fired. Get out of here, kid.
Like and subscribe. I didn't think of anything.
You heard the kid. Like and subscribe.
Wait, next year for Oscars, I'm going to do that.
You're going to do the ballot?
Yeah, and then I'm going to... down.
Okay. All right.
Give the answer too.
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
All right, kid. Go win a tournament. Rocket League.
I want it.
Okay. God love him. Like and subscribe. That's all you got. I forget to say like and subscribe. So, anyhow. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next week when we review the film Alien Romulus.
Alien Romulus.
Ooh, fade out. Perfect.
Do we stop now?
You know...